This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'm here today with Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence. Not only do we practice together, seeing patients at our offices here in Manhattan, ground zero for COVID-19, as it so happens, but things are looking up a little bit for us these days. We have our usual questions. Questions come to radioprogram@AOL.com. What's next, Layla?
Well, Daniel, speaking of nucleotides in part one, was wondering, are there any reasons or conditions why one would not want to supplement with nucleotides?
There is a good question, and there is actually a specific answer to that. Is nucleotides are what drives gout, because how are they disposed of and broken down by the body? They're broken down into uric acid. So what are the foods that contain a lot of nucleotides? Well, precisely what we tell people to have when we want them to get nucleotides,
yes,
are foods that are on the no-no list for gout. So you don't want, you know, that's why
you don't want organ meats.
You don't
want
to eat a lot of organ. So like rich people would consume a lot of beef and kidney pie.
Yes.
They would augment it with a lot of wine, which an alcohol sometimes makes it worse.
And that's,
and they would have a lot of carbs. Carbs through a different pathway drive uric acid production.
Yes. Too much
so
insulin.
Even though they have no nucleotides. But what's interesting is that plants also have nucleotides. Where's the nucleotide in plants? In the seed. The seed contains instructions. Mm-hmm. Now, what part of the plant doesn't contain nucleotides? The leaf doesn't contain instructions as much. I mean, it has some, but it doesn't have a lot of nucleotides. The root doesn't have as much, but seeds, so legumes and maybe nuts are more likely to trigger gout as plant foods.
Right,
and for some reason, and I, you know, maybe you can figure this out, asparagus.
Something about asparagus.
It's a stalk.
It's a stalk,
and maybe as a stalk, it's got a lot of growth in it, and it so there's a lot of nucleotide instruction for growth in the stalk.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
It's kind of a kidney tonic, but I'm not sure.
Well, it's thought to be a little bit of a diuretic, but not good for, I mean, one of the supposed no-no foods for gout, right? Okay.
Along with things like sardines.
Right. So it leads to an interesting question. Yes, there are certain circumstances you do not want to take nucleotides. So if anybody's like listening to an ad like, oh, I'm going to take the nucleotides, that's going to help my vaccine work because I'm making these nucleotides against the spike protein and I want to take, you know, the nucleotides to make the vaccine work better. If you've got gout, maybe don't take the nucleotides.
Yeah, don't do that.
And skip the beef and kidney pie.
Right.
And the, you know, the liver and onions.
Exactly. And the red wine.
And the red wine. Right. Although that sounds like a good combo. A little like a very rich red wine.
And some, help you absorb the iron.
It's like a real hearty winter thing.
Yes. Yes. We've got a question from Nate. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, what are your thoughts regarding the need for taking antibiotics prior to routine dental work, including cleaning, for people with joint replacements? I've read conflicting recommendations that say both yes and no.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where it's very rare to have... Well, let's back up a little bit. What could be the reason to take antibiotics if you have a joint replacement when you have, what, dental procedures?
Yeah.
Well, the reason is that whenever you have a deep cleaning or you know, like a tooth extraction,
is bacteria can release.
Bacteria can actually traverse from the surfaces of your gums and teeth into the bloodstream.
Yes.
They cross that barrier fairly easily. Mm-hmm. And then they circulate around, and joint replacements are sticky. They have properties that can cause bacteria to adhere. So people who have heart valves, artificial heart valves, they have to sometimes get dental prophylaxis. It's called, you know, antibiotic prophylaxis.
Yes.
During dental procedures, because the concern is that the bacteria will float around, and then you can get something really devastating, which is, it's called a vegetation. Hmm. A vegetation, which means literally there's this little, you know, little nub of bacterial colony that grows on your valve, and that causes endocarditis.
Oof.
And then little pieces break off and get shot up into your fingertips and your toes, and it's a huge problem. You have to have intravenous antibiotics for like 3 weeks for that. As much as they try to make the joint surfaces smooth and similar to biological surfaces, normal human biological surfaces, they do form a nidus for bacteria to form a biofilm.
I see.
On them.
Okay, and hence that's the problem.
And that's the problem. And so, I mean, I think you can't, I don't think you can generalize. I think you have to look at the circumstances of what the joint replacement is, what the characteristics of the joint replacement are, what the track record is. And the problem is that it's very, very, very rare that this happens. But when it happens, it really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it might necessitate removal of the joint replacement, you know, because,
because
how do you clean that out?
After all that?
Oh. Yeah, you got, because it's got like gunk on it. You have to take it out. So
take it out, wash it, put it back. What?
I don't think.
Yeah. I don't mean to make light of it. It sounds terrible, but oh my goodness! Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It's nasty.
Okay, so Nate, there's your answer about antibiotics.
Yeah.
For dental procedures, if you have a joint replacement.
Yeah, but you know they already rescinded that on mitral valve prolapse, which was a relatively mild valvular condition. Of the most, you know, they say everybody with a heart murmur got to get. Well, now only if you have a really high grade mitral valve prolapse, do they recommend it? So it's like, you know, get an echocardiogram, see if it really is high grade, and then, you know, the dentist may say, well, you've got a murmur, like, let's do it, because they want to protect themselves.
Of course.
You know, it's like, the guy said he had a murmur, then you didn't give him the antibiotics. You know, it's like, I'd rather give him the antibiotics.
Sure.
The problem is antibiotics are not benign, and you want to avoid their use,
exactly,
if possible. So it's, I mean, from the standpoint of
and if you're having to use them at least twice a year for your cleanings, it's still a lot of antibiotics.
It adds up.
Yeah.
Changes your microbiome, it alters your immunity, it makes you more resistant to antibiotics because the bugs evolve resistance. So you really want to minimize your use of antibiotics so that they work when you need them.
Exactly.
Okay, time for a break. Let's allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you.
Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
This is from Dr. Santee.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I have a question about
one of our astute social media followers.
Oh, yes, yay.
I recognize him.
About chronic nausea post-thoracoscopy.
Ooh. So, okay, what's a thoracoscopy? That means like going down there and looking. You know,
going
it's like
down there and looking,
if you get an X-ray or a CT or an MRI and it shows something like, what is that? That shouldn't be there. Then you have to sometimes go down through the windpipe with a scope, look into the lungs, and it's called a thoroscope.
Isn't that a thoroscope?
Yeah.
Okay. So Dr. Sani has a patient who persists with nausea to the present time. Dr. Santi is wondering if this is some kind of vagal neuropathy related to a thoroscopy. The surgeon doesn't think it's anything related to surgery or any possible damage to the vagus nerve. Other GI studies apparently ruled out any gut motility issues.
It's kind of one of those vague things, like, you know, could it be that the thoroscopy triggered some nerve response where the person is nauseous all the time, you know, you know, like a gag reflex or something.
Right.
And
this patient is not responding to most common antiemetics like Reglan or even CBD oil.
Wow.
Any of that. And losing weight at an alarming rate because she's always nauseous.
Even medical marijuana, perhaps, because that sometimes can help.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the question is,
does the vagal nerve play a role? What do you think?
Maybe. And, you know, you could use vagal nerve simulation, but it, you know, it's fairly benign, and you can use this portable unit that I talk about, the Nuvana unit. And, you know, it's NEUVANA. I think you can get a special on it, you know, by telling them that I sent you because they're a sponsor. And, you know, it's worth trying. I mean, it's a fairly benign thing. You attach a little, it actually comes through your earphone, and you listen to music or whatever you want to listen to. You can listen to, you know, television medicine if you want to. You can listen to a podcast. And it sends like electrical impulses through your ear into your vagus nerve. And that can sometimes change what's called vagal tone.
Yes.
And that may make it less likely that this person experiences nausea.
Wow.
But it's a shot in the dark. It's not
Balancing parasympathetic influence. That's what that would help with.
Mm-hmm.
For relaxation, parasympathetic. In yoga,
yes,
there's something called right nostril breathing and left nostril breathing.
Right.
In yoga, when you're trying to get more parasympathetic influence, meaning more calming, you breathe through your left nostril, meaning you pinch your right nostril and breathe through the left.
Right, I've done that.
It can help you to calm down you're about to go speak to people or go on
stage. I've done that while driving. Because sometimes you feel drowsy when you drive, and that sometimes creates a little more focus and alertness.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Because the other way, if you pinch your left nostril and you're using your right nostril to breathe, it's sympathetic activation.
Oh.
It can help to
maybe that's why I wake
you.
Up. Maybe
energize
that's why I wake
you.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. So that could be something.
So here's another one. It's acupuncture around the wrist. There's a wrist point. It's called pericardium 6, I think, if I remember my acupuncture training correctly.
Wow.
And it's between the tendons on your, you know, about one hand's breadth above, below the wrist, or, you know, above or below, depending on which way you're looking. And it is a prime point for treating nausea with acupuncture needles, but you can also use acupressure, you know, self-stimulation. And they also sell what are called C-bands. Fishermen use these. They're like little terry cloth bands with a little plastic nub there and instructions on how to use it. And you press it when you feel seasick. They sell them on cruise ships, I think, you know.
Terrific.
C-bands for nausea. But, you know, it may require more than just like a C-band. It may require, you know, professionally administered acupuncture or even electroacupuncture with a little bit of an electrical impulse to the needle. That, I mean, I'm just thinking, trying to think out of the box how to deal with this. Yeah.
Fascinating.
You know, ginger is good for suppressing nausea sometimes.
Sure.
High dose ginger,
yeah.
Like really concentrated ginger.
A lot of ginger. Wow. Thank you, Dr. Santi. Best of luck with that patient. Wow.
Yep.
Sounds like a tough case.
Well, it's like a bummer because, you know, you go for the thoroscopy, they say, oh my God, maybe you've got cancer. Like, oh, good news, you don't have cancer. And then afterwards, the person is nauseous for the rest of their life, you know?
Exactly. Wow. So we've got an email from Peter. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Could you please advise, sir, what are the best treatments for bipolar 2?
Please don't refer to me to as sir. Refer to me as Your Honor.
Okay. What are the best treatments for bipolar 2? Now I get acute anxiety and repetitive thoughts with insomnia. Any help would be greatly appreciated, sir, your honor. Have a great 2021. Hopefully
better.
Actually,
if you have OCD, try professor, your honor, and sir, just to cover all your bases.
Kind regards, Peter. So acute anxiety, repetitive thoughts with insomnia.
Okay, so there's
bipolar
some...
too.
One of the things that's intriguing is about OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, is there's some research on it on NAC, N-acetylcysteine.
Yes.
There was an article in the Wall Street Journal about natural ways to address nail biting. You know,
wow.
I used to bite my nails as a kid.
Me too.
Yeah.
So much so that my mother would get this horrible tasting nail polish.
Yes, I remember that stuff. Yeah.
And I still bit through it.
Yeah, well, I would tear through it.
Yeah.
You know, I would like, I would change my strategy.
I would
like mangle my nails with my you know, tearing.
I was a very anxious kid.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kindred spirit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's why we're so simpatico is, you know, we have similar, you know, backgrounds.
And a lot of left nostril breathing.
So, but anyway, you know, obviously, we both grew out of it. So the article states that there's some research on NAC, N-acetylcysteine.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It seems to curb impulsive behavior. Mm-hmm. And they've done some studies with NAC and compulsive gamblers.
Wow.
They've done some studies looking at addictions and alcoholism.
Yes.
And why that should work is not clear, but it seems that NAC, in addition to being a substrate for glutathione production, also works on dopamine pathways.
And there's that's all about addiction, the dopamine.
Addiction, yes. So that if we can get into that pathway, maybe that... So I don't know what dose is the most likely to succeed. You could start with 600 twice daily and maybe do it three times daily. And another thing that has been helpful for obsessive compulsive disorder, I wrote a paper on it like 25 years ago, is inositol, but high dose inositol.
Yes.
Inositol in a powder form is actually pretty well tolerated at high doses, like, you know, 6-8 grams a day.
Yeah.
You know, it's... rather sweet tasting.
And it's extremely calming effect.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the inositol in a B complex vitamin is also very, kind of counteracts the B12.
The stimulating effects.
The stimulating effect of it.
Okay.
And the B6. But no, inositol is fantastic, I think, for a lot of that.
So I'm just, again, you know, there's no surefire way to address that.
You want to be careful with too much inositol because it can cause diarrhea.
Yes.
So don't start, you know, go low and slow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of deciding to take 10 grams a day because more is better, not necessarily more is better. So
the question is, how do you get somebody to do this consistently? If you've got OCD, you'll do it.
You'll do
it,
exactly.
And you think it works, you know.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, we're seeing more and more of these cases. It's really interesting.
There is
it's fascinating
a little bit of a... correlation between OCD and strep.
Strep
as a neurological consequence of strep.
Huh.
PANDAS.
We see that in children sometimes, right?
It's called PANDAS.
Do you see that in adults, though?
It's also sometimes associated with Tourette's.
Oh.
PANDAS symptoms. But those are, it's the immunological effect of strep on the brain. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so, you know, keep your blood sugar stable,
Yes, keep your blood sugar stable, number one. Stay away from additives, preservatives, MSG, the whole glutamates, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Neuroexcitatory
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Are you a fan of salami?
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Right.
Or anywhere else
don't
that you're finding.
Don't put accent on your food.
Don't put accent or adobo.
Oh, right. Adobo.
Adobo is full of MSG.
Yeah.
Be careful of anything that says yeast extract, natural flavors. Put it back. Don't eat that. But definitely a good complement of B vitamins, magnesium, omega-3, N-acetylcysteine.
Yeah. They perhaps theanine as a calmative
theanine
or even CBD.
Good.
You know,
theanine
he says he took
good.
Those things, right?
Yeah. He doesn't say that he took those, but are the best treatments for bipolar 2 now? So, Peter, best of luck to you.
Well, we're talking OCD here, but now he says bipolar 2.
Bipolar 2. He has repetitive thoughts.
Right.
You know, insomnia, all of that. So, and Another question we have here from Sherry. There is a California P65 cancer warning on a product you recommend.
I'm shocked.
Since you recommend this product, is it still safe to take? And why recommend something with this warning? Hey, Sherry, everything causes cancer in California.
it's so interesting because
Proposition 65.
There's this thing called Prop 65, yeah, which establishes a very, 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 very stringent threshold mm-hmm. for any number of things, you know, lead and arsenic and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a little bit of natural arsenic in some things.
Sure.
And not that we want to give you arsenic, you know, arsenic
in
old lace.
It's in the soil, it's in the municipal water systems.
And so a fairly large number of things turn up triggering the warning in California, whereas in 49 out of 50 states, they're not. Now, you might say, well, California is more proactive and more progressive, and we should all abide by the California rules. Mm. But what it ends up happening is Prop 65 becomes a sinecure for lawyers to sue companies, and they get assistance from the state because the state, the State Department of California,
encourage
the lawsuits.
They incentivize them,
the lawsuits and actually help to underwrite the lawsuits. And what ends up happening is most companies settle, and then they withdraw their products from California. So the people in California don't get a lot of products that are actually ostensibly safe. And the net result is like there's a settlement. Say the settlement is for, I don't know, $100,000.
Sure.
Because the lawyer is happy to pocket, you know, $70,000. And $30,000 goes to the plaintiffs, of which there are, you know, so it's like class action. There may be, you know, thousands of plaintiffs. So everybody gets a check for like, you know, $11.32 at the end of this successful thing. And the lawyers make like tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
It's actually a loophole in California law that has created a whole cottage industry of attorneys suing. Now, I will confess, I've not looked at this specific product.
Yes.
But, you know, this person also says that they tried to contact the manufacturer, but they couldn't. Well, it was the holidays, so they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I can get in touch with the manufacturer and I can say, what's the deal with this? And they'll probably say the same thing, is that our product tests slightly above the California threshold. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's a plant concentrate. And plants, you know,
They concentrate things like arsenic and lead and anything else that may be in the soil.
I would say you might get the same warning in California for applesauce and for rice.
Yes. Do you eat chicken and rice? You're getting that stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know.
And chicken too.
Chicken and rice, right. Mm-hmm.
So, what, you know, I'm not sure that it means that I'm inadvertently prescribing stuff that gives cancer to people. Olive leaf extract is a wonderful thing for cardiovascular protection. If there's new information about its benefits in terms of osteoporosis.
Yes. It's good for blood sugar.
It's a natural antimicrobial.
Yes. It's good for acne. It's good for blood pressure. It's good for immunity.
Yes. Yes.
It's good for all of these.
Right.
I love olive leaf extract, especially in winter.
Yeah. So, yeah. I reserve the right to say like, well, you know, unbeknownst to me that this tested like extraordinarily high in something we don't want people to have. And then I'll say, I'll issue a blanket, recall on that, you know, like on my recommendation. But when I'm not impressed by the fact that California posts a warning on that, as that is pro forma in California.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Sherry, you could take the product Olivier. I would. I do. So it's a good product.
But, you know, since the holiday is over, you know, I would task this, you know, I'm going to deputize this person.
Mm-hmm.
Contact the manufacturer.
Yeah.
And let me know if they just give you the bum's rush. You know, they should be able to give you an explanation of that.
Yes, yes.
And if they don't, I'll contact them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, you know, at first I read it, it was like, oh my God, you know, what's this person saying? There's a recall. And then I looked at it and I said,
no,
oh, that's California being California.
Yeah,
again,
Proposition 65. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
There you have it. And, you know, what's interesting, a lot of companies have to make two labels.
Mm-hmm.
One label
yes.
for the country and
right.
one label for California.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, it really discourages companies from doing business in California, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which is not great for the economy. It's not great for the people of California.
That's true.
And so we hope that, you know, wisdom will prevail and that mm-hmm. they will continue to protect the citizens of California, but not with this law that has unintended consequences.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sherry, for that very thoughtful question. All right.
Great. All right. We still have a couple of questions in the mailbag. We'll get to them next week.
Yes.
We encourage you to write in with your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Keep those great questions coming. We had quite a nice mailbag of questions today.
Yeah.
So once again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
We'll be back with you throughout 2021.
Yes.
Stay safe out there. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.